There's the old saying that love is blind. That love is blind. It overlooks, doesn't see faults. But I don't like that saying. True love is not truly blind. It's not blind at all. Infatuation may be blind. I do see that. That, you know, oh, Father Kevin, I have a new boyfriend, and he's perfect in every way. Really? I doubt it. That sometimes, you know, I work with couples preparing them for marriage, and they go on and on, you know, about their story, and they saw each other, and they fell in love, and they know they're perfect for each other. They fell in love. And sometimes I like to respond, well, I fell into a manhole once, you know. So what now? Because love is something so much more. True love is not blind. Love, rather, sees all. Love and truth are connected. Because true love sees the faults and flaws and imperfections of the person very, very clearly. And then still says yes. That I choose to love, even though I know the faults and sins of this person. I've said before, probably, that God loves you just the way you are, but he also loves you enough not to let you stay that way. That God sees our faults, that his love is not blind, but he sees our faults and yet chooses to love. I have a confession to make to you all. I hate to be the one to break the news to you, but your priest and soon-to-be pastor is a sinner. And I am flawed and broken, and I have plenty of my own problems. I am not up here. God did not call me to be a priest because I am holier and more perfect than you all. I'd love it if you all thought that, but that's just not the truth. But as I was approaching ordination, I told Jesus, you know what you're getting, so just so you know, this is on you. But that God does not call us because we are perfect. He does not call us to himself. That he doesn't choose to love us because he thinks we're perfect. Because God knows better. But that he chooses us even though we know we're sinners. We know we're sinners, but we know we're sinners who need his love. That I knew for me in responding to this call to priesthood, that I knew that I was a sinner. I know that I am a sinner in need of redemption and in need of a love that sees my faults but still chooses to love me, and a love that can love me into something more, that can love me into holiness, that can love me into redemption and salvation, a love that is greater than all my faults, a love that is greater even than my resistance to it, a love that is greater than my attempts to thwart it. For God so loved the world, is what we hear in the gospel today. Not that God so loved what he thought the world was, that he thought the world was perfect enough to save, because love is not blind. God so loved the world that with all its problems and all its mess and everything that he knew would happen, that he still thought loved this world enough to save it, to save us, to come into the mess, even though he knew that the very act of coming into the world would result in the world rejecting him and killing him on the cross, yet he still chooses to work to save us. For God so loved the world. But then we hear, but the world prefers darkness, that we prefer darkness to the light. In knowing our sins and faults and flaws, it's many times easier to keep those in the dark, to bury those and hide those away, because it's hard to bring those to the light. There is a fear. If someone really knew the things I've done, someone really knew this thing I buried inside, and really saw me for who I was, then I couldn't be loved. That's what we're afraid of. And we fear to bring that to the light. But that's exactly why Jesus, through the church, gave us the sacrament of reconciliation. For that sacrament is all about bringing our stuff, our mess, our sins and flaws to the light. That there's a power in naming those aloud to another person. And specifically, a person through whom Jesus mediates his love and grace and mercy, that in a tangible way, as we bring our sins to the light, then in a tangible way, we hear, your sins are forgiven. That the Lord give you pardon and peace, and your sins are absolved. To bring that to the light. There's a story of the saint, Saint Damien of Molokai, who went to an island, what is now the Hawaii Islands, to a leper colony and gave his life to serving the lepers there. But because it was a leper colony, when the ship would come bringing supplies, and they would lower the supplies down but weren't allowed to step on the island because it was a leper colony. So whenever Saint Damien, because he was the only priest on the island, when he wanted to go to confession, the priest wasn't allowed to come off the ship to hear his confession. So he'd have to stand on the dock while the priest was up on the ship, and he'd have to shout his sins to the priest. So, thanks be to God, we don't have to do that anymore. But I think the point is for him it was a reflection of his humility. And that he knew that the grace and mercy of God was greater than his sins and anyone who knew those sins. So believe in the Beloved. That's a theme we've been building on, I've been building on in my homilies this Lent. To believe in the Beloved. To believe that you are a Beloved of God. And that this Beloved Son loves you enough that he gave his life for you, for us. And to believe in the work that he's doing. And that sometimes involves him coming into our hearts, and he wants to build a house for the Lord in our hearts. Which sometimes means he has to overturn some tables, as we heard last week in the gospel reading. Because he wants to create a space for him to dwell in us, for his love to dwell in us. To believe in the Beloved. And to close, I want to share with you a story from a cardinal archbishop who has since passed away, who is the cardinal archbishop of Paris, Cardinal Lustiger. That he told this story once, that there was once a group of boys in the late 1930s. These boys would stand out in front of the church, and they liked to heckle people going in and out of the church. And one day, they said, "Hey, wouldn't it be funny? We know the priest is hearing confessions right now. Wouldn't it be funny if we made up these really terrible sins and then go in and we tell the priest these ridiculous sins?" And so one boy, he's about 13 years old, early young teenager, decided to take them up on that. He wasn't a Christian, but he's like, "Yeah, I'll go in. I'm not scared of the priest. I'll go tell him all these made-up sins." So he goes into the confessional and he tells the priest these ridiculous sins. Now this priest was a very wise and holy priest. And so he knew that this guy was messing around and not taking this seriously. He said, "Okay, for your penance, here's what you got to do. All you have to do is go out back in the church, stand before the crucifix, and say to the crucifix, 'Jesus, I know you died for me, but I don't care.'" And he said, "Just do that 10 times. He's like, "That's it?" He's like, "Yeah, that's it." He's like, "No problem, I can do that." So it kind of goes. So he goes before the cross and he says, "Jesus, I know you died for me, but I don't care." Kind of looked around, like that was easy. So he did it again. "Jesus, I know you died for me, and I don't care." And a third time, he said, "Jesus, I know you died for me." And he couldn't finish a third time. And he fell to his knees and he said, "Jesus, you died for me." And later that year, he became baptized and became a Christian. And Cardinal Lustiger finishes that story saying, "That young man is now standing before you as your cardinal archbishop." That Jesus died for each and every one of us. For God so loved the world. For God so loved you. that he gave his only son, that you are worth saving. Not because you are perfect, not because of anything we've done right, because love is not blind. That God sees and knows everything, and yet still says, you are worth saving, you are worth me giving my life for pouring out my blood. That this is my body and blood given up for you. That we are worth saving because of his love. So believe in the Beloved.